Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning into our boardroom chats. We get so many compliments and comments on these boardroom chats. So I believe we hit something good when we started doing that a couple of 4 or 5 years ago.
We're a good combination.
I guess so. Praise the Lord. What a blessing of the Lord. So thank you for watching. Partners, thank you once again for supporting this ministry. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important, not because it's money, but because it brings in souls. And not watch souls healed, souls saved, bodies healed, depression gone, discouragement, despondency. We bring joy. We like to make people smile. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. I want to ask you a question today. I'm going to ask Kathy too. Do you feel that you are approved by God?
Yeah. Well, I don't just feel it. I know it. Oh,
really? Now, yeah. Why do you know it?
Because I've asked him to forgive me my sins, come into my life. And I obey his word.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, his word will help you to be approved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Mm-hmm. It says, study. Mm. It didn't say read. It's good to read. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Which means, right then, I mean, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So if we don't study to show ourselves approved, we don't know if we will be approved. It is possible we can wrongly divide the word of God.
True.
And that's why I think there's so many different ways of looking at things in scripture, and people take it on the wrong side, see? And it's amazing to me, you know, that people think because time changes and we do change, but God never changes, because we did a boardroom chat not long ago. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, everything around us is changing. It's happening all the time. I mean, but God doesn't change, and his word doesn't change. And when he says that, and I want to read it again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen some people that were ashamed? Mm. Why were they ashamed? Well, maybe they did something wrong. I guess you could be ashamed by that or whatever.
Right.
But you see, a lot of people don't know if they're really approved unto God. They don't know where they are. Well, the Bible says you've been made the righteousness of God. Now, and let me tell you something about grace. If anybody believes in grace, I do. Because you're saved by grace. You got to have that. But you shouldn't take that beautiful concept of grace and use it to make yourself ashamed by sinning and saying, well, it don't make no difference what I do. You know, I'm saved by grace. No, no, it don't work that way. See, now you're putting a spin on something, and what you're doing is opening up avenues for your faith to flourish. Not your faith, excuse me, your flesh to flourish instead of your faith to flourish. And that's why people mess up. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree with that. It's so true. And this is, a lot of people, they get ashamed because maybe they've listened to the wrong voice. They haven't studied the scripture themselves.
Yes.
And they took things just on the surface and didn't study. Because
right.
When we study, we're reading the word of God, which was written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. So you don't just read words and let them just go in your head. You have to let it sink into your heart and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to really understand it. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So the life of God is in his word, and when we study it with the Holy Spirit's guidance and some, you know, just meditate on his word in
Amen.
That way,
Amen.
It transforms you. It's not just empty words that you hear someone else speak because they know it. All of a sudden, you get what they call revelation knowledge instead of just intellect or your what kind of knowledge is that? Just intellectual knowledge.
Intellectual activity.
Intellectual knowledge. You get like revelation knowledge, which is spirit-led.
But see, that's the problem a lot of times with theology or theologians. See, they're just trying to receive knowledge, and you need to receive knowledge, and you will receive knowledge and wisdom studying the Word of God. But it's more important not only just to know this, but to make sure you approve so you don't wrongly divide the Word of God, so you never become ashamed. How many ministers you've heard that preached something for years and swore up and down, all of a sudden they tell you, throw away all my books, throw away everything, because what I did was wrong. Well, how do I know when you're hearing what's right? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, that's an indicator that they have never known.
See, and it's good to get knowledge. It's very possible you can take knowledge over approval.
Right.
You see what I'm trying to say? And knowledge is good, but wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge. Hmm. You see, that's why I stick with the Word of God no matter what. And I have been royally persecuted for that. Why do you preach prosperity? Because it's in this book. Why do you preach healing? Because it's in this book. Now, have you ever prayed and didn't receive your healing? No. You want me to say it again? No. I received my healing. Watch this, and let me explain that. That didn't mean I didn't have symptoms. By His stripes, you were healed. I received were before I ever got symptoms. Hmm. Did you get that?
That's very good.
See what I'm saying? Were healed. You say, were healed.
Right.
Then the symptoms came, Satan come attack you. Then I say, okay, now I got to work on these symptoms.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
But see, that's why I'm so approved to God, because His stripes, I am. Not I might be. I don't know. You see? So it's not the symptoms. Mm-hmm. I receive my answer before the problem comes. Mm-hmm. Then when the problem comes, through whatever it may be, so I stay approved. I do not switch. Well, bless God. You know how God is. Sometimes He does, sometimes He don't. That's wrongly dividing the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? He always does. Sometimes we don't receive.
Right. You make a decision based on how you feel rather than what the Word of God says.
Well, you're dictated by your feeling. You're dictated by all these things. The reason why you get mad at people or they get mad at you is they dictated by their feelings. It's called losing your temper or aggravating or, well, I don't know, whatever it is. But you can shut that down with the power of the Spirit that's in you. Mm-hmm. So let me say that again. I'm not talking about symptoms. I accepted by His stripes you were. I got to stay on that. The Lord said, go back to that. Were. So I accept that. I accept it. And when I ask Jesus to come in my life, I am saved. I accept that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I don't feel saved. I'm a little aggravated by something going on. You know, the country's doing crazy stuff and things of that nature. I'm thinking, my God, what's going on here? So it disturbs, well, I'll say it like this, it gives me symptoms. You see, symptoms. Now I got to work on those symptoms.
Yeah.
Like at the time we're doing this boardroom chat, the government shut down. You know, everybody, nobody cares if people going to get hungry. Nobody cares about anything of that, this or that. You know, it's just about political things. But you see, to me, I look at it like this, and I'll just say it. If you're going to shut down people who's not getting paid, then why is the Congress getting paid? Why don't you shut that down? And you know what? We got a freedom of choice, freedom of speech. But if you don't like a president, you don't have to use hate speech against him or hate speech against a congressman. In fact, hate speech should not be a part of you. Hate speech is a symptom that needs to be healed by the love of God. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Let me say it again. I accepted what God's already done, so what He's already done is in my spirit. So when Satan comes to do something, if it doesn't coincide with what I've already received, I say, these symptoms do not belong to me. You have no right and authority to touch me. And then God gives me something so powerful, the power of attorney. Oh, I love that. To use the name of Jesus.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's been times you get up, you get the sniffles, you know, weather change, I don't know, whatever, something like that, and all that kind of stuff, you see? And I just made up my mind that I live in the land of were, not living in the land of here, because the symptoms is saying it's wrong, but were is always right, because God's word never changes.
Right. You need to always be studying the Word of God and find out what God has already said about that situation you're dealing with. This is what Paul was writing to Timothy, his protege, about. Now, this is the last letter that Paul wrote before he was beheaded by Nero. So he had some important words he wanted to impart into his spiritual son. So he told him to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth of God's word will brings you all the hope and all the answers that you need. Like you said, if the symptoms rise up, you can go to 2 Peter. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter that says, by His stripes you're healed?
2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 15.
So he says, by His stripes.
It's right there.
No, I'm talking about Peter.
What about Peter?
The scripture. Oh, just trying to remember the verse. I get mixed up whether it's 1 Peter 2. Okay, regardless.
It's one of them Peters.
He's quoting Isaiah that says, surely he's borne our sicknesses, carried our disease, and by his stripes we are healed. So you can go study
and put the word
that.
Took in there.
Took. He took our infirmities.
Why do we want it?
You don't need it.
He bore our sickness.
Yeah, they already were born where they were on his back.
So I
we don't need to carry them.
Yeah, when I get symptoms, I remind Satan that he took my infirmity and bore my sickness.
And you know, throughout time, now, there's always been those gainsayers or those false teachers that'll come up and say, oh, God's word is not true. Don't believe it. I mean, first, this is what he was addressing here with these people who had risen up and started saying that the resurrection has passed already. That forget about it.
Right.
It goes on to say in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings.
That's right.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So this false doctrine that was circling then overthrew the faith of those people who were believing for the resurrection. So Paul was addressing this, but this still the same concept applies to if you're believing for healing. People
Amen.
Say, oh, healing doesn't belong to today. Yes, it does. Some people will say that not just anybody can be saved. No, God's word says it's his will that all men are born again and come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's nothing that's outside of the possibility of receiving salvation. So the concept is that they always want to undermine what God's word has said and pull away the promise, but our responsibility is to study to show ourselves approved, so we're going to stand firm on any promise that's
in the
Bible.
So we don't wrongly divide the word of truth.
Yes.
In the last days, and I believe we're living in it, people are not believing that Jesus is coming. They say, oh, man, they've been saying that for thousands of years. Let me help you. The Bible said that the scoffers will increase more.
Mm-hmm.
See, so when I see that, it doesn't disappoint me, because it's been prophesied by God Almighty. What it does, it makes me alert to look up, because my redemption draweth nigh.
I love that.
You see what I'm saying? Now, it irritates me, and I got to be careful not to use this little member called the tongue to say something I shouldn't say. I said this on one of the boardroom chat, on one of my Faith Facts, and I preached it the other day, and everybody's been talking about that point. You know how your tongue says thing, and boy, you get yourself in trouble. I said, if you always breathe through your nose, you'll keep your mouth shut. Sometimes we need to keep our mouth shut.
Yeah.
When you go back to study to show thyself approved, they ain't gonna like this. I ain't trying to get your approval.
That's right.
Because you are not gonna judge me. You can judge me with your tongue, but it's just gonna flap in the breeze. I will stand before the Most High God. So I want to be approved to him. I'm the righteousness of God, see? And then I take this word of God and I apply it when something happens to whatever it may be. Or like if money gets tight, then get to the word of God and says, wait a minute.
Yes.
The word says he supplies
all.
All. Everybody just thinks need. No.
All.
Stick with the word all, because in the word all is need, desire, and want.
Mm.
All. See, so you take that word of God. So when you got what I call symptoms of the wallet, okay, that's symptoms. Now, how do you change that? With the word of the living God. What does the word God tells you? Now, you're not going to like, most people are not going to like the remedy to getting your wallet full. It says give.
Give, that's right.
No, I need to receive. I understand. Because the sowing, you're going to reap. It make no difference whether it's bad or good. But if you do what the word says, and you do that by studying to show yourself approved, you don't wrongly divide it. You rightly divide what the word says. So when people say, well, I don't believe that, because you're wrongly dividing that. Well, I don't believe that. It don't make no difference whether you believe it or not, still the truth.
Mm.
And that's what I'm talking about, you know. I like feeling that I'm approved of God.
Mm.
I do enjoy that. You know, I like being the righteousness of God. I like knowing that when tough times come, you know, and it does, tough times don't last. They don't, but they will come. But what I do is I go to the Word, especially if I've already studied.
Right.
And a lot of times what I do, when something tries to hit me, I go, oh, let me get it. You want me to look, you want me to take my time to look at that silliness? And I just walk away, which is a flat insult to Satan. He just cannot handle that whatsoever at all. It just drives him bananas, you know what I'm saying? So I made up my mind, and we study the word, we believe the word, write sermons, preach the word. And I'll tell you something, a little secret, while I'm preaching, I'm studying.
So true. So
how many
true.
Times you didn't have your notes? All of a sudden you said something, well, where'd I got that at?
Yeah.
You know, because see, it's in you. Let me go back to that symptom stuff. See, that symptom stuff is very real because that hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. But live in the land of Ur. You ever heard of the movie, The Land of Oz? I ain't telling you to go to Oz. I'm telling you to go to Ur.
Yeah.
By his stripes, you were healed. Get that. Go ahead and get that scripture. And I want them to, and if you can put it in different translation.
Okay.
See, we're using healing. Because many of you going through some hard thing. Maybe you're going through cancer right now. Go through it. Don't stop and let it kill you. You see what I'm saying? And I've seen this happen, not once, but many times, when the doctors gave up on the cancer patient. We can do no more. Put you in hospice, I believe that's what it's called. Send them home. That's a devastating report. See, very devastating. Yet I've seen people at that point in their life get healed, like, which make the doctor look dumb. Everything you could think of. And the doctor wasn't dumb. But what they were doing, they don't have a cure for it. They're treating the symptoms of this rebellious cell called cancer. God has a cure. And every time that cat of nine tails hit Jesus' back, that was cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infectious disorder of every kind, COVID, pneumonia, everything. If you get a little sniffle or if your chest gets a little congested, the devil will tell you, you're developing pneumonia. See, he's trying to get you to receive symptoms. And the only way he can get you to receive symptoms is if you feel it.
Right.
So why don't you feel we're healed? Like you feel physical sickness. I feel my salvation so strong. Yet it's in my spirit, but it comes out of my spirit, my mind, and it comes out of my body. The symptoms of my salvation is I don't sin like I did before. I don't do those things.
Right. That's so
you see
good.
What I'm saying? Because it gave me a shield of faith, a sword of the spirit. It gave me an armor.
Right, because you live in the land of Ur. You remember what Jesus did.
That's right.
And this is why it's 1 Peter chapter 2.
That's why
2.
You like it when I remember your birthday or I remember your anniversary.
Yeah.
Because you need to. That's a nice thing to do.
Well,
remember what God has done, even though it don't look like it's working. And I'm not denying what you're feeling. I am looking at this scripture, and this scripture comes to pass. Go ahead,
Well, you
Kat.
Know, just like when if the doctor gives them a prescription, the medication they give them, they take that first pill, and they'll tell you, you're going to have to take it, like if it's antibiotics, they'll sometimes say, you're going to have to take it 2 or 3 days, take the whole amount in there, don't give up. And if you would just give up after taking the first dose because you didn't see a change in the symptoms, you'd be a fool. So you have to follow the full instructions. So you have to stick with the Word of God.
Before you read it, let me tell you about the Word of God.
Yeah.
It has no side effects. How many times you saw something?
It has good side effects.
You said something, was it yesterday or maybe?
We were listening to a commercial and they spent more time talking about all the
side effects.
And you could die, you can go blind.
Who wants
I don't know,
to take
it was crazy.
Stuff?
It was going on and on and on. I said, well, by that time I forgot, well, what are they trying to fix?
Yeah, and you
with
want
that?
Me to buy this? You want this to inject, put this in my body?
I think the government or somebody requires them to make a listing of all those things. And then they say something that sounds so stupid. Tell your doctor about this. You mean if you're going to a doctor that doesn't already know, find another doctor. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
the whole commercial thing is crazy. And
they
will absorb that and take that in and listen to everything the doctors say. But here is the book, the Word of God,
amen.
who is proven. And if you stick with it, you won't be ashamed.
I get a little nervous when they practice. I want somebody to know what they're doing. No.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When Kathy goes
don't
and make
about
a gumbo.
Me. Oh, gumbo. Okay. I thought you were going to say shopping again. You always
No. Well, you were shopping. You know how to do that too. Very well. But I'm saying, when she does that gumbo, now I'm going to tell you something.
I didn't get it right at first.
It is so good.
Let me show you what it does. I didn't get it right at first. I had to
practice. You had to learn. It's common sense. But it gets so good. Even before it's finished, she's filled the house with the fragrance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to the back, and I got a big house. Go all the way to the back. You can smell bell pepper, onions, butter. And boy, you come down there and there's Kathy, boy, making that roux and doing all that stuff. And then she cuts all the sausage up and the chicken, whatever. If it's because we like a chicken sausage gumbo. You got the seafood gumbo, you got all kinds. And then when you get it, all of a sudden, son, and it smells so wonderful, but the taste is coming. Yeah. When it's finally, she gets it, she goes, Jessica, and I've been waiting for this call. Come and taste this. See what you think.
It's ready.
Oh, now take it out.
And I'm not ashamed of the work.
No,
not
it
ashamed
is so
of,
good.
I was a workman stirring up the roux.
The only thing
took
I don't
an
like,
hour just
and
to
I have
make
to
the
say
roux.
This, and I'm going to say it publicly, and it's wrong, I'm wrong. The only thing I don't like that she does, she'll make all kinds and put it in the freezer. For some crazy reason or another, if you freeze gumbo and then you thaw it out a week later, it tastes better. I don't know why it does. Maybe the flavors get together. But she said, I'm going to give some away. No, we don't want to. Let's just keep it in the freezer, hold it, you know. But I'm glad she does. But I mean, boy, because sometimes I go, boy, Kathy, get some gumbo. I gave away my last quart or last pint or whatever it was. Who'd you give it to? You know. But I'm glad she did, you know. But what happens is before we get to the taste part, before we actually, in its digesting, we're loving it, all the symptoms of that gumbo is all over the house. Onions, bell pepper, what'd you call it, the Trinity?
They call it the Trinity. The Cajun people talk about the onions, bell pepper, and celery. That's they call it the Holy Trinity in cooking.
And I'm telling you, it's just really, really good. And it's a blessing.
And there's a book, a Cajun cookbook that came out that says, the title of it was so funny, it says, who's your mama? Are you Catholic? And can you make a roux? And that qualifies. If all those things you can answer effectively or perfectly, you qualify as a Cajun.
So you study to show yourself approved. Now, sometimes, I don't know, maybe we didn't have the right ingredient. It was wrongly divided or something. I don't know. You know, sometimes something don't come out like that.
The chicken has to be fresh. Everything has to be fresh and fresh, you know, chopped up properly and all of that. And, you know, but
I think that's why you were so enamored with me, because I was fresh. When
right.
I was young, I was
right.
fresh. I'd look at it and go, hey, honey, how you doing?
He's a legend in his own
mind. I'm a legend in my own mind. Hey, man, what's wrong with that? Praise God.
But, you know, I was thinking back, too, about my gumbo, how even then when I first made it, it was awful. You called it tasted like a duck dove
like
in the water.
Like a duck or a chicken flew into the, bam, hit the
I
water, and flew back out.
Never had cooked much before we got married, and my sister-in-law gave me the recipe. And one day after I had given it to you, you didn't like it at all.
It was
okay.
Terrible.
Kathy,
it was terrible.
Well, we were waiting.
Even your brother said it was the worst thing
you
ever.
You and my brother, Daryl, got together and compared notes, I guess.
I'll just tell you the story. It's so funny. Both Daryl and Alma in heaven, they're wonderful people. They didn't get no better than them people. It was just Kathy, I only had one brother. Well, I was at his house, and they had a nursery. Make a long story short. We were talking about that, and Daryl looks at me, he says, does Kathy ever make a gumbo? I said, yeah. He said, do you like it? I said, no, it's the worst. There.
You start describing it to him.
I describe it. He goes,
that sounds like
Alma's. That sounds like Alma's gumbo, because maybe we didn't want to eat it. And sure enough, Kathy
Alma's
used
the one who
Alma's
she had written
recipe.
To me and gave me the recipes.
She wrongly divided the gumbo.
We weren't living at home at the time, and I was writing to her for some recipes. She sent me some. It was so precious.
Yeah.
And I did the best. I followed her recipe.
She didn't. She got it at, I don't know.
I don't know, but she wasn't. I don't think she was a Cajun.
No, she wasn't. I don't know what she was. But it was not good. I mean, if you took a gumbo and throw it in as soon as it hit the grass. It was bad.
But I've come a long way. I've gotten another recipe, and then I've improved upon it. But the thing is that even though I thought the last gumbo I made was really good, I had another idea of something I wanted to add to it, because I listened to someone else who told me about a certain kind of sausage that they like to use. And so I went and got it, and I added that to it, and it was even better. So that's just to say that you know, we've learned so much in the Lord, but God always has so much more. He wants to add another bit of another ingredient to us to help us to grow. We should always studying. Be growing
See,
and studying.
You're constantly approving. See, and so things change, but it's still
gumbo.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Gumbo
use
is...
that as an example. You know what I'm saying? But what happened when you study to show thyself approved? Now, you know, people think I'm, they're going to get mad when I say that.
Well, don't say it.
He's cocky. No, I'm going to say it. He's cocky. He's arrogant. No, I'm approved. Does that bother you? I'm sorry. I've studied. I show myself approved unto God. That's my job to do that. A workman that need not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my blessings, spiritually, physical, or financially.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging about it when I say that. People say he brag. No, I'm giving God glory. Can't you understand the difference between bragging and giving God glory? You see what I'm saying? When I talked about Kathy's gumbo, what was I giving her? Glory.
Right.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Hey, this was great, you know, things of that nature. So that's my point, see?
Mm-hmm.
So you're constantly approving yourself even more and more, not trying to get somewhere because you've been made the righteousness of God. It's just a wonderful way to live and live by the Word of God because it's not only a map and direction for your life, but it's a foundation of truth that will not break. He said,
Amen.
My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips.
That's right.
Are you enjoying this today?
I'm enjoying it.
The Lord gave it to me last night. I was just thinking in bed, but I'm ready to go to sleep. And he says, do you feel approved? I said, oh, the first thing came to my mind was that scripture. So I said, yeah. And he said, how did you get that? Study.
Yeah.
Study. Well, and so I wouldn't wrongly divide the word of truth.
Right.
No, you know, truth is truth. It's not lies. It's not error. Even though you may not like the truth, God gave me a statement. I think I heard someone say it probably 40, maybe 50 years ago. If Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived.
Right.
Not a truth, not some truth. The truth.
Right.
And if he's the life, and he is, the devil can't kill you.
The devil can't kill you. That's
good. I probably learned that at the very beginning of my ministry, and I've applied it in my life. But you learn it through, you know, when I think I'm learning something, all of a sudden I just look and I see something else. Good Lord. I mean, there's just so much that you can wrap yourself around with, man. Because this world's not easy to get along with, man. You know it and I know it. And I don't like it when I'm persecuted. I don't like it when people say things about me. If people that really know me, they said, boy, if you knew that man, you would, he's not like you say he is. But I sound sometimes very arrogant. I know I do. I sound very cocky, but it's not. It's assurance. It's confidence. I told this to a person the other day, my daughter is one of the best cooks you'll ever see in your life. Jody can flat cook. And I said this, if my daughter, and listen to them, because this is a prophetic utterance. If my daughter ever invites you, her and Jay, to her house for a meal that she's cooking and you don't go, you done miss God, boy. You done miss God because you are going to have one of the most... She makes her own dips that you put chips... I mean, all that kind of stuff. Now, Kathy's mother is 94, just turned 94. Well, she one of the greatest because she made something what we call... And I miss it when I think about it. It was always Christmas Eve.
Are you hungry? You don't mind food, but
I'm thinking about gumbo. Oyster gumbo. I've had people say, I don't eat oyster. You're going to eat this? Everyone that I've ever said, taste it. If you don't like it, spit it out. No, I don't eat oyster. I don't like oyster. I said, well, just, it's an oyster. No. I said, just taste it. If you don't like it, spit it out. Not one person ever spit it out. They went, oh, Jesus. Now, she can't do that anymore because, you know, she's got a very brilliant mind, but she has a hard time walking. She's 94 years old. So you got to stay there, and that's a lot of work. And I don't mean to say that some of the girls and the nieces and everybody have tried to make it. It just wasn't there. But the difference with Irene was she'd give you the recipe, but she did it by pinches. You know what I mean by pinches? You know, you a pinch of this and a pinch of that. Well, how much is in the pinch? You know what I mean? You know? And it was so wonderful. So study.
Right.
And you'll be approved to God. You'll never walk in shame, and you will rightly divide the word of truth. Partners, thank you. for allowing us to do this.
Did you want me to finish reading that scripture?
Yeah, I want to do that, but I want to talk to the partners because you're so kind. I'd like you to support this ministry if you're not supporting it. How do you do that? Go to jdm.org and hit a donate button. 100% going into world evangelism. We're not taking any of that. We don't do that. You can use PayPal if you like. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want. Or you can go to our free JDM app and select the giving, or you can just mail in the check, whatever. We need that to reach more people, change more lives, one soul at a time. Me and Catherine don't mind doing the work, son. We will do the work. And I promise you, and I say it before people in my, and they know my people that work with me, we don't touch your money. That goes into world evangelism. So I ask you to do that today. I felt like the Lord just quickened me. I was about ready not to say it, and it was to quicken that, because they'll get a harvest. Now go ahead and read that real quickly, then we'll go on.
First Timothy.
Yes.
Chapter 2, verse 24 is what we were quoting before. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
That's the land of work. Do you have another translation?
Yes, let me see what the...
We're about ready to go up, but I want to fix it because you see, I know some of you got symptoms. I'm not denying that. But if you get to the land of work, symptoms go away. Go.
Well, it says the New Living Translation says, okay. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross.
Oh, I like that, personally.
Personally.
Ooh, that's good. Go ahead.
So that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Put it in the present.
Yeah, I mean, because the land of the word will become the land of now if you accept it. I'm not denying the symptom, but you put the word on it, it'll get rid of it. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, this is the Passion Translation. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding.
God, that's good.
That's good, too.
Isn't that a blessing? That's what I'm saying. I want to get this inside of you because I know if I get it inside of you, it will come out. And when it comes out, if you're sick, it'll destroy the symptoms.
Right.
And you'll feel so approved.
Amen.
To the Lord. Jesse and Kathy saying, thank you for watching, and thank you for giving, and thank you for being a partner of this ministry, okay? See you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.